The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It's Wednesday, April 15th, 2020, and this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 podcast, or network, I should say. Both. It's both. My name is Shannon Young. I'm Mr. 100, and I want to welcome you guys to our second fairly normal week of Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on PZ85. With me, of course, is the ever-graceful five-star man, Asa Gray.
All five.
And Asa, today has been a hell of a day. Of course, Asa and I are recording remotely once again from my estate and his mansion. And I wish that we could talk about silly things like WrestleMania again. And we could talk about how much we disagree on the Firefly Funhouse match. But unfortunately, today was a very, very sad day for the world of professional wrestling on so many levels.
Yeah, just a garbage day all around for WWE employees.
Yeah, it's I don't know who put it in the group chat, that legendary PZ85 group chat, that Vince McMahon said that there were going to be big cuts coming, and we didn't know how quickly they were going to be coming. I didn't know they were going to be today. Maybe I missed the full article. I didn't read it. I just saw the headline.
It was announced that Vince McMahon was going to do a video call for all employees. Behind the scenes, production, all of that.
That's rough.
And that, you know, and it was supposed to be at 11 a.m. or something, our time. And it was going to include, like, hey, you know, there's going to be a lot of cuts coming.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, a couple hours later, stuff started to filter out of just how bad it was. And, you know, one of the things, and I want to get this out of the way, because surprisingly, there's other stuff that, we could talk about from the week, including what happened yesterday, which is almost makes this even more, it definitely makes it more infuriating. But the idea that, you know, we're going to read a list of names of people who lost their jobs, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah,
there is so many production, behind the scenes, corporate people who are also have lost and will lose their jobs, of people that we have no idea. These are just the people that we know and have seen.
These are the ones we recognize. If you're a casual wrestling fan, maybe if you're a little bit more of a hardcore wrestling fan, these are the people that you will recognize immediately. But it's not discounting all of the people that behind the scenes, like you said, that, I mean, there's a lot of people lost their jobs today. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you had that list ready.
I didn't know if you wanted to go, if that's where you wanted to jump into. So,
well, I think, there's part of me that wants to save it for the end because I think it is the most important thing. And, you know, I like to close on a big note. But at the same time, with it being so important and with it being so tragic, I kind of want to talk about it first because I think this is obviously the biggest news of the week, in my opinion, just the sheer amount of loss here. So go ahead and read us off that list of people and we're going to discuss that.
So this is so far today. It is 7:20. Things have seemed to have stopped for the evening. There may be more tomorrow. There may be more because it was going throughout the day, which makes me think that, you know, instead of doing one master list, they were waiting to be able to talk to people. So they didn't read their name, you know, on the website. And that's how they found out. But from on-camera perspective, it is Aiden English, Kurt Hawkins, Drake Maverick, EC3, Epico, Eric Young, Heath Slater, Carl Anderson, Kurt Angle, Leo Rush, Luke Gallows, Maria Kanellis, Mike Chioda, Mike Kanellis, Noe Jose, Primo, Rowan, Rusev, Sarah Logan, and Zack Ryder. Those are just on-air people, which Kurt Angle was... he hasn't been on air for probably about a year now.
Right.
A little over, I guess. But that's, you know, what you mostly think if he just started his behind-the-scenes role. Same thing with, like, Eric Young.
And then
PW Insider. And I'm getting all of this from the Reddit WWE Pandemic Release mega thread. They have everything kind of broken down. PW Insider reports that 9 producers were released. there is some speculation whether or not these are permanent or if these are temporary furloughs, but Lance Storm tweeted that he lost his job, so I don't know. I think it may be a, you know, individual basis.
Yeah.
But we'll kind of need more confirmation on that. Those names are Billy Kidman, Fit Finley, Lance Storm, Mike Rotunda, better known as IRS, Pat Buck, Sarah Stock, Scott Armstrong, Shane Helms, and Sean Daivari.
Whoops.
And then there's a couple other names. There are some names from the Performance Center who have been released. Alexander Jaksic, Casey from SC Sirens is indicating that there are just general Performance Center staff cuts that are happening. So, you know, not talent, but people who just worked at the Performance Center. Deanna Purrazzo has said that she's been released. She was on NXT. She was also recently up on the Raw. She was the one who lost to Nia Jax in her debut.
Right.
Writer Andrea Listenberger has tweeted she was released. Jerry Soto, who was an announcer there, was released. Ace Steele, who's a trainer, got released. And that is the list of names that we know. I did just see another one, though, of which it was another Performance Center person whose name I did not recognize immediately, but I can try to find that. But yeah, just so many.
It's
so many names.
Incredibly tragic. I mean, obviously, I don't like when anyone loses their job. You know, we used to complain back when it was me and Hunter and Zach and you. We would complain about, you know, people wanting TNA to close or hating certain federations because you don't think about the loss of job and the loss of life that these people suffer whenever something like that happens. And, you know, I have no doubt that things are tough right now with COVID-19, with everything that's happening and people are losing money and stuff like that. I have no doubt that things are tough, but it just seems like, I don't know, like it seems like a terrible time to let people go. And I wonder why there is no protection in place for employees like this. Cause I thought that was a thing, that we were protecting employees from being fired. But I guess, well, a lot of companies are just, like you said, furloughing them and, filing for unemployment and good luck, and hopefully they'll bring you back in the future. I actually think that a lot of these guys, especially production wise, will probably be brought back once things get kind of back to normal. But one, who the hell knows when things are to get back to normal? And two, it's WWE, so maybe not. They might just bring in new people. I have no idea. You and I discussed this before the show. We were texting each other earlier about, you know, who do you support anymore? Can you support Vince McMahon? If you don't support WWE for their decisions, are you going to hurt the people that are still there? It's complicated, and I hate it, and I wish everything was just black and white. I'm tired of gray.
Yeah, it's a nightmare, because this is like the Blizzard Hong Kong stuff.
Yes.
Where, you know, it was pretty easy for me to be like, okay, well, I don't really play any of Blizzard stuff, so, you know, that's fine. But this is, you know, and there's been times before. We've always known that Vince has done some very evil, if, you know, criminal things.
Many times over.
One of the reactions I've seen on Twitter, I don't remember if I retweeted it or not, but it was, well, no one's really paying attention to the fact that we just watched a documentary last night about Vince covering up a murder, did we?
Right.
Because, you know, now the Jimmy Snuka Dark Side of the Ring was last night.
Yeah, haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, No one's talking about that. So I don't know. This is because on the one hand, it's like, okay, if I don't pay attention to WWE, because right now, like, I'm kind of just a leech, you know. I read reports about what happened. I will maybe watch stuff on their YouTube channel to actually see it, but yeah. I don't pay for the network. I don't keep that subscription going. I very rarely buy merch and stuff like that. I haven't gone to the last two live events that were here, so same. You know, am I really a fan at all? Or
well,
I just don't spend money on it. But this is one of those things where it's like, at this point, it's like, I don't even want to talk about it. But yeah, at the same time, you know, if we're not talking about, you know, the cool stuff that Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre and The New Day and you know, Becky Lynch, people like that are doing, then, is this going next? To ultimately, yeah, does this hurt them or does this hurt, you know, Vince? Because you really can't hurt one without the other.
Yeah, like and said, the first like, people
nothing,
to go
nothing's
down.
Black and white.
No, the first people that's going to go down are the talent. You know, like Vince is going to take care of Vince. You don't have to worry about that. It'll be a long, long time before Vince McMahon suffers. But, you know, guys like Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins are easy pickings because they haven't done much in a while. They've just kind of thrown around. But eventually you will get to the Seth Rollins and the, you know, Drew McIntyres and people that, you know, at a point, if everyone stops watching WWE, if they stop making money, then they stop and they go out of business, then yeah, they're all of their people are going to get fired and you're going to have all of these great wrestlers that are looking for homes now. And I, you know, Vince McMahon will still be rich at the end of it. So it's hard to punish the rich because they're already rich. A lot of stores, if they close down, you know, Lonnie always talked about if it gets to a point where we can't afford to keep the store open, he could always sell the product in the store and make his money back, so he would be fine. So, you know, the people in charge are always going to be okay for the most part. It's the people that work for them that make them rich that are going to suffer the most. And when you don't watch WWE, if you don't support them, there's a good chance that those people could be out of the job like these guys are. But I myself, I'm the same way. I don't watch WWE. I pretty much look at wrestling in general, other than CCW. I pretty much look at wrestling in general as a job at this point. Like, I cover it for this show, but I honestly, I still enjoy it, and the good stuff's really good, but I don't go out of my way to see it anymore. But when something like this happens, I mean, you can't help but stand up and pay attention, and it's just truly tragic what happened today with all these guys who are now, you know, a lot of them will go to AEW, probably TNA, but even AEW and TNA right now, I'm sorry, I keep saying TNA, I'm sorry, Hunter, Anthem. Between Impact. Anthem and Impact, Jesus, I'm so sorry. See how out of the loop I am? Going to Impact or AEW, even that right now is kind of iffy because everything's shut down. Everything's paused.
Yeah, it's not like and that's the thing is, you know, it was always, you know, 6 months ago, it would be like, oh, this is kind of a blessing in disguise because there's been no better time in history to be an independent wrestler.
Right.
But now there are no shows. No, right. Nowhere is running.
Imagine how many of these guys would be all over the indie scene after this. You know, Zack Ryder, I think for sure, Gallows and Anderson, these guys would be making a killing on the indie scene, but where are they going to work now? And
some of them, it almost feels kind of morbid to like speculate, like, you know, who's going to go where, because it is, you know, this was just hours ago that this happened.
Right.
But right. Like, well, it's, I think Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins of this list, I honestly think that they're in the best shape right now, because they did what Xavier Woods has talked about for years at this point, of you have to have something outside of wrestling. Xavier right. has up, down. The Hawkins and Ryder, Hawkins has a wrestling school, which granted, you know, they can't be holding classes right now, but he has a wrestling school. They have the Major Figure Wrestling podcast. Where that we know right. where they do live shows, they have their own Patreon set up, they have their own, you know, which Dalton would be able to tell you every possible detail of it because I'm sure he's subbed at their highest level. But you know, I think that, you know, they have that, they've got that side hustle. Is it enough yeah. to, you know, live on until they find something more lucrative, more full time? You know, because the way the connections that they've made through that, like I could easily see them becoming like brand ambassadors for Mattel or various toy companies, stuff
yeah.
like that. And yeah, depending there's on what companies are still around whenever everything reopens, you know, there's certain people who I could see them, you know, go like Gallows and Anderson could literally go anywhere that they wanted.
Right.
At this point.
You know, I think their stock has like actually gone up.
Yeah. You know, there's people more along the lines of, you know, I'm looking at this, like, there's really no one untalented at
no,
this
but they're
like, okay, so does Aiden English want to start wrestling again? Is he going to start taking indie bookings? Or, you know, does NWA look at him as a commentator or something like that once
yeah.
NWA starts running shows again, if they do? Because, again, everything is so uncertain.
Yeah, and I look at a guy like No Way Jose, who I really like. I think No Way Jose is super talented, but, you know, he didn't have a gimmick that is going to carry over very well to be taken seriously somewhere else, so he's going to kind of have to start over fresh. Whereas a guy like Aiden English or, you know, Gallows and Anderson, obviously, are just going to be Gallows and Anderson wherever they go. Zack Ryder obviously can't be Zack Ryder, but, I mean, he has a built-in charisma and gimmick that he can take wherever, and it doesn't really matter. But, like, I look at a guy like No Way Jose, and I think, what is he going to do? Because he's very talented, clearly. But, you know, you're not going to see him pop up on AEW or, you know, Impact or anything like that, not without a huge gimmick change, and it's got to be something substantial. So I think he's in, like, the best and worst spot, because now he can finally change his career around where he can, you know, do something more serious than the conga line. But at the same time, he's going to have to start over. Starting over is literally the worst thing, and trust me, I know. It's incredibly painful, and to see progress and then that progress just be gone, and now you're back at square one and you're trying to get your foot in the door again, man, that sucks. And my heart goes out to him so much.
Yeah, 'cause, like, he's someone who, like, that would be a fun thing to do at, like, smaller indie shows, but then once if he signs with, you know, Impact or wherever, you know, then he can do, you know, an image overhaul, because it's a fun gimmick. Like, the people loved it. Like, they loved the dancing. It was just the when it got moved to the main roster and it went from just, oh, he likes to dance, to giving him the Adam Rose rejects, the Rosebuds. Right. Like, why? It doesn't, it was never that in NXT. It doesn't need that.
And Adam Rose kind of is another good example. Oh, God, there's the delay right there. That's the problem we're always looking for. Adam Rose, he did so well in NXT with the same gimmick, but then when they brought him to the main roster, you know, they kind of butchered it. And No Way Jose is the exact same way. He was fun in NXT, and then when they brought him up to the main roster, yeah, he was just, you know, darker-skinned Adam Rose, and it bombed terribly. So that dude's going to need a lot of image enhancement at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just, it's tragic for all these people. Like, Drake Maverick posted his video about it, apparently. Oh, even though he was fired, he's still going to be performing in the Cruiserweight tournament for the NXT, like, which, man, the balls on y'all. And, like, No Way Jose, he is an essential employee. Linda McMahon used the Trump super PAC. And, like, you know, it's a battleground state. It's not as cut and dry. It's easy to just say, oh, Linda McMahon bribed Florida $18 million to have WWE declared essential. You know, that's oversimplification and really not even accurate. But, oh, okay, so, yes, you still have to travel. You still have to come. You still have to be in all these rooms and arenas with all these people because you are an essential person. Not essential enough for us to continue to pay you, though.
Right.
And it's just like, what an absolute bullshit slap in the face.
Yeah.
To, like, flew into Raw, and that, you know, because he was essential, and then, oh, Wednesday you're fired.
Yeah. Yeah, it's disgusting. I can't believe, I mean, yes, I can. Let's be honest. You said the balls on them, and I was going to say, oh, I can't believe they would do this, but, like, man, if you look through the WWE's history at all of the bullshit they've pulled off, not just, like, professionally in front of the camera when they had, you know, Rusev and the planes being shot down, or if you go back to the, you know, the Iraqi sympathizer, Sergeant Slaughter, I mean, in front of the camera's bad, behind the scenes, for all of the good they do with, like, Make-A-Wish Foundation and stuff like that, they're so garbage. Like, they're trash day, and it's, I don't know what to do about it, because I don't want to support them, but you're absolutely right, man. I can't turn away from it, because I don't want people I care about to suffer, but, you know, depressing.
Yeah, it's...
It's very dark in here, too. Is anyone still in here with me?
Yes.
Okay, you want to turn a light on? That's Lindsay, by the way. Lindsay Wolfgang from Podzilla After Dark. You want to turn? It's like goddamn Batcave in here at this point in my living room, other than these two bright monitors shining directly in my face. So I don't want to lose sight. Okay, we're good. Hey, what's up? I'm back.
Sorry. I'm looking at this list of names of it, and it's just like, you know, some of them. Someone on Reddit pointed out, it's like, oh, it kind of looks like they're culling the house show circuit, because, you know, God knows when they're going to start running those again. So, you know, these are a lot of names that you would see kind of on the undercard of live events. because, you know, of course they're not going to get rid of, you know, the Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Braun Strowman, you know, people like that. Like, they're good. It is the, you know, it's crazy to think that Gallows and Anderson were in the main event of WrestleMania 2 weeks ago. And they're gone.
Yeah, and they're gone now. Well, all right. So, you know, we talked about how terrible it is for everybody. But just on a personal note, seeing Zack Ryder finally get released it's tragic for me. You know, I am a gigantic Zack Ryder fan. I know Dalton's also a gigantic Zack Ryder fan. And Hawkins, too. Like, to be fair, Hawkins, too. I love Hawkins.
You say that like I'm not also a gigantic Zack Ryder fan.
Well, I feel bad. So just the other day, Lindsay and I, because, you know, we're moving. We're all splitting apart. We're going our separate ways. It's a lot less tragic than it sounds. But we're moving, and I'm down there boxing up stuff in my basement. And I found my Zack Ryder gear. Like, I found Zack Ryder sunglasses. I found Zack Ryder's bandana that, you know, I got at a house show with, I think, if you guys remember, if you're old-time listeners, with Jordan Lowry. And maybe Louis Benson, like, years ago. And I put it in a box. I'm like, well, I'm never going to wear these again. You know, I didn't know Zack Ryder was going to get fired. But I'm just looking at the glasses, and I'm like, well, these are stupid. Why did I ever buy this? I mean, I'm in a bad mood anyway. But and then I heard he got fired, and I was just like, oh, man. I would wear my Zack Ryder sunglasses today, but they're taped up in a box somewhere. And to see Zack Ryder finally get fired after being there for so long, I think 14 years of putting in work, and never giving up hope. Like, it's been said a million times that Zack Ryder is one of the biggest WWE failures of all time, because this dude made himself popular. He's always in fantastic shape. He got over on his own. He really revolutionized the bringing together of social media and wrestling and stuff like that. I mean, that dude doesn't get enough credit for it. So to see someone
he's literally
so loyal,
the reason WWE has a YouTube channel,
right? And to see that, to see him just get released like this, like it was like a long time coming. People always wondered how he hadn't got fired before, but it's still so incredibly sad to see. And I really hope Zack Ryder lands on his feet, because I think they're all incredibly talented, but I have a soft spot in my heart for Zack Ryder.
When you talk about Zack always Ryder, will. You know, he's been there for 14 years. Mike Chioda has been there since 89. He's worked with WWE for as long as I've been alive.
That is one of the biggest surprises to me, honestly, because when I saw Mike Chioda's name on there, because we used to make jokes about Mike Chioda all the time. Like, we would be playing, me and my friend Chad, and I think Bob, we would be playing the old SmackDown games, and I don't know if it was actually Mike Chioda that was in there, but Chad always called him Mike Shinoda, or Mike Shinoda, is that the guy from Linkin Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, he would always call him Mike Shinoda, and he, like, not ironically, he was just stupid and didn't know his name, and I would always correct him, like, no, it's Mike Chioda, you stupid moron. And now he's gone. Like, really? Mike Chioda? That's terrible. Like,
it was now because Hebner's out of WWE. It was Chioda, which I know I said Chioda earlier because I go back and forth pretty much every time I read his name, I say it differently.
You but didn't say Shinoda. That's the important thing.
Definitely not Shinoda. But it was him, and it was Lil Nate. Like, those were the two senior referees.
Yep.
And now it's crazy to see him, you know, him also being gone. Plus, like, I'm curious how many producers WWE has, because they have early 2019, it might have been late 2018, I'm not entirely sure exactly when, but whenever WWE had kind of done a little purge of their producers. By, you know, it was like Arn Anderson got fired and then a couple more. And then they brought on Daivari and Helms and Lance Storm to, like, because they wanted to freshen things up. They wanted new eyes. They wanted new staff in the production role. Well, now they're like all of the new people, it looks like they're gone, as well as a lot of the older producers, or not older, but people who've been in the production side of it, in Kidman and Finley and
Rotunda,
Scott Armstrong, yeah, Rotunda. Like, so now that they're also gone, it's weird. They're still putting on shows, they're still having matches, but I guess I wonder how many of them were more focused on, you know, stuff like live events.
Yeah, and when I heard Kurt Angle was getting released, that was a shock to me, because, you know, Angle is, I mean, he's a legend. I know he was just a producer at that point. I don't mean to say just a producer as an insult, but just to let angle go seemed very surprising. It was just a very surprising list. And what I'm afraid of is that tomorrow we're going to get more names, that this isn't it.
I do think we will. I think they're going to do more. I think NXT is probably going to get hit, which I think it was someone, I think it might've been Hunter or someone in the group chat kind of made a good point of the NXT talent probably isn't costing them that much. It's like, it would be like deleting text messages in your phone to free up memory. Where it's like, nope, that's not really going to do it. Also, it's with, you know, looking at the list of people, it's kind of surprising that Sarah Logan is the only female talent that got released. So I'm wondering if maybe there are more cuts there coming.
I wouldn't be surprised if at least one or two more. I'd hate to say Liv Morgan. But there's always a part of me that's afraid she's going to get cut, even though she, you know, won at WrestleMania, or maybe even like Natty. She's been there forever, but I could see them letting her go in the same way that they let, you know, other people go.
They've established that tenure means jack.
Right. So it's that old, was it JTG or Shad Gaspard that was just like, I shouldn't have checked my phone. Well, I know it was Hurricane because he posted about it today, but I think it was JTG that always said just he never checked his phone in case he was getting fired, and then he checked his phone and he was fired. I think he has a book about it, but anywho.
I think it's titled "I Shouldn't Have Answered My Phone," with that, which that's what Shane Helms tweeted.
It's sad, and you know, obviously this show just airs tonight. We don't know who's going to get released tomorrow, if anybody, but we'll cover it next week on the next show, obviously. And I really hope that it's temporary. And when that sounds so stupid to say, though, because it doesn't feel like it's going to be temporary. I feel like if they wanted to keep them, they could. But, you know, they just closed down the XFL. I know you don't have it on the list here, but we can mention that real quick. They shut down the XFL again, permanently again. This time it wasn't even Vince's fault, really. It wasn't a bad product. It was just an unfortunate time.
They got totally screwed by the pandemic.
So it looks like they're cutting costs just all over the place. But yeah, it's still just incredibly depressing. And my heart goes out to everyone that lost their job today. You never want to see that. But
no, yeah, it sucks.
We do have other things to talk about here. And actually, the next one is also kind of in the same vein. The Revival was released.
Yes, that was earlier, late last week, earlier this week. I don't even remember anymore. But that was, their contracts were up. So this wasn't, you know, budgetary or creative differences. They just did not re-sign, but they were released. And someone, I wish I could remember who, if it was PW Insider or if it was Meltzer or Satin or whoever. But someone pointed out that the way that the, you know, announcement was made, where it said, as you know, effective immediately, that means they are not held to that 90-day no-compete clause. So. Right. If things were normal, like if this was, if the world wasn't burning down around us,
they'd be on AEW next week.
AEW was live in front of a crowd tonight. They could be there. Like they could just show up.
Yeah. So. You have to tune into Thursday for our weekly coronavirus update, but here's a quick preview. Everything's still on fire and terrible. So there's that.
They've already changed their names on Twitter, which I don't remember. One of them's like Dax Friedman. I don't remember.
I certainly hope not. One of them changed their name to
one of them's Cash and one of them's Dax. I'm pretty sure.
I saw Cash earlier because it was in the article that I saw on 411 talking about, you know, responses to the releases, and I saw Cash and I thought it was Cash Borden. I was like, okay, cool. They're finally picking up people that I want to hear about. And I was like, who the hell is Cash? I don't know another Cash. So I'm glad you fixed that for me.
Yeah, I can't. Because I did the exact same thing if I thought it was Cash Borden.
But seriously, if his name is Dax Friedman, I want my money back.
Okay, so Cash Wheeler is one. And then, no, Dax Harwood. Dax Harwood. Not Hardwood, Harwood.
That's a little classier.
Yeah.
A little
so
bit.
So Cash Wheeler, Dax Harwood. I don't know which one is which, because I'm assuming...
I got it.
Well, no, I'm being legitimate, though, because like I'm assuming Dash became Cash. Like
that it would make the most sense, yeah.
Like, I would hope so. But, you know, and Dawson to Dax, maybe? I don't...
Dax sure. Harwood.
Yeah, so...
It's not as good as...
FTR.
Now they can agree with it. It'll never be as good as, you know, the greatest wrestling name of all time, which is obviously Sexton Hardcastle. But...
Of course.
We'll let it go.
I can't wait to see Sexton Hardcastle make his WWE debut in WrestleMania 37's Firefly Funhouse match.
Or if he goes to AEW at any point, I would kill to see them bring back Sexton Hardcastle. That would be just fantastic. Moving on. We got to move on here. Men in Black. Jesus Christ. Money in the Bank venue has been canceled. We kind of expected this, though.
Yeah, and this isn't WWE like, oh, okay, we're not going to run shows because it's irresponsible, even though, you know, there's no crowd. We're still going to get a bunch of people together in a neutral zone and still film. No, it was simply, this was the actual arena announcing, like, hey, y'all can't come here.
Right. So, which makes sense.
Yeah, it's not surprising that that's coming up here in a couple weeks in May. So... That's pretty much it. They'll probably just shoot it like they did
Performance Center
for WrestleMania, because I don't know at this point if I know the Raw and SmackDown for post Mania was pre-recorded, but I don't know. I'm assuming now they're back to doing live shows just in front of the empty arena, because you know Jose flew in on Monday, so. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to pre-record Money in the Bank, or if they're going to if they're going to try to do that as a live show again.
I feel like they'll do a live show. I think WrestleMania was special. They wanted to make sure they got it right. I don't think they really care about Money in the Bank as much, but we'll see what happens. I've been wrong before. This one's a fun one. You're going to like this one. Linda McMahon, Super PAC, donated $18 million to Florida the same day that Florida deemed the WWE essential.
Yeah, which, like I said earlier, it's not as cut and dry as that, because it wasn't just WWE. It was all, you know, sporting events, whatever classification that WWE falls under.
Mm-hmm. I hear it's sports entertainment. So like,
yeah, either one. And then it's... On the one hand, like, I don't know if it's just the conspiracy, like, you know, if it's the conspiracy theorist or just wanting to see the absolute worst in people, but it's just like, that timing seems fun, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like,
hey, look, I host a show called I Want to Believe, and we deal with conspiracy theories there. This is, I'm about to get my tinfoil hat out.
Yeah, because I don't think that they're directly related necessarily, but it's hard to look at just how corrupt everything is and to be like, oh, look, you know, and it, you know, it makes sense that the PAC to get Trump reelected is going, or the Super PAC is going to donate to a battleground state like Florida. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to give them money, but it's, I don't know, that just, it doesn't sit right. Like, the timing is definitely off, especially because, like, the Florida governor, I think, was the one who was even just like, hey, we told them not to, but we can't technically stop them. So
right.
It's on, well, you know, they were very, very clear that they did not approve of them running these shows. And then it's like, nope, yep, they're definitely essential.
Well, from what I understand, the governors actually have very little power. It's the president that has total authority. So
total authority.
Total. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
And we're all fine with that.
Yeah, apparently. I mean,
all the people clutching the Second Amendment because in case the government tries to do a total takeover, they're weirdly silent on this, but okay.
Yeah, I think, yeah, the world's burning down. Apparently we can get away with a lot more now, or before the world was burning down. Apparently it doesn't matter anymore. Nothing matters. That's, if I take any solace out of life right now, and there's not a lot, but if I do, it's the fact that, you know, I see that everything's terrible and you kill it with fire, no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. So kill it with fire, eat the rich, whatever terrible thing you've been dreaming up. I'm advocating for you to go do it, as long as it's not hurting good people, hurt bad people. Anyway, and I'll give you a list of who bad people are here tonight. Stay tuned. This one also is kind of... Lindsay told me about this one, and this one got under my skin, that Vince McMahon and others were added to the task force to reopen the economy in the wake of the COVID-19 virus. And I don't know why that bothers me so much, but it does.
Well, because, I mean, have you seen the full list of people?
I think it was Vince, and I think it was Steve Mnuchin and Kudlow. It was basically, I think, unless I'm thinking of the wrong people, or am I right?
It's pretty much all of the sports owners.
Then so, I'm definitely thinking of the wrong one.
Vince McMahon, let's see, this is from metro.uk. Vince McMahon, Trump also named the likes of NBA's Adam Silver, NFL chief Roger Goodell, MLB's Rob Manfred, and NHL boss Gary Bettman. And UFC president Dana White is part of the team, alongside Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban and New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft. They're going to be a group that also will be working with people within the White House. So like Steve Mnuchin, I think, is going to be part of that task force. Mm-hmm. Or whatever it's called. And that's who's going to be the ones to kind of like restart the economy.
Which is just, I don't know if putting our sports heads in charge of reopening the economy is the best idea, but obviously reopening the economy at all right now is a bad idea, because if we just go back to normal, this is all just going to happen again. I was reading...
Well, he just said it's peaked, so... And everything's got. We can start reopening around May 1st.
Please don't.
Peaked. It's done. It's been 15. You know, 15 cases. We're good, and it's gonna be zero pretty soon.
Look, I want to get out of the house as much as anybody. I've been here for a week and a half now, and I've barely left my house for anything. And my roommate Bob is jealous of me because he has to go to work, and Lindsay has to go to work. I want to go back to work. I hate being here. I do not want to be home all the time. I want to be at work, and I want to, you know. I want to mingle with the people that I used to hate mingling with, but I'm also not too stupid to realize that if you do that now, it's going to be bad. We're just going to go through this all again, and then we're going to have to shut it down again. Until they come up with a vaccine, we may not be able to be normal at all. And you're talking at least, I mean, unless a miracle happens, what, 12 to 18 months before there's a vaccine? So we may be stuck in this position for a while. Now, clearly, at some point, something has to be done or else the economy is going to tank. But I think opening on May 1st might be a little bit premature. And if the person with his finger on the button are people like Vince McMahon and Dana White, I don't know how safe I feel.
No, yeah, it's
just my opinion.
Everything's terrible.
I've been wrong before. Oh God, that was the last story too. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it's not a lot of news this week. It's just a lot of heavy news.
Yeah.
Cause...
Oh, I know one thing. I know one thing I wanted to ask you about, and I wanted to get your opinion on. And that's
okay.
Ronda Rousey. What do you think?
I could not care about something less than what Ronda Rousey thinks.
Okay. I was curious about your thoughts on it.
No, it feels like a work, you know, it doesn't feel legit. This feels like a weird way of her, cause they, for whatever reason, are desperate to try to, make her stuff feel real,
mm-hmm.
by pointing out how faked up wrestling is.
I mean, this isn't the first time they've done that, is it?
No, that's what they did for her, like, for her first run. And she's like, no, I'm not one of you fake wrestlers. I'm a real fighter. And so now, when Becky Lynch beat her, oh, she beat a real fighter. That one was for real. All those other matches she ever had, those were fake. But this time, she beat Ronda for real. And so now she's got built-in feuds with, like, Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax and... Becky and Lana and all the people who are tweeting angry at her, and it's just like, I don't care. She, you know, she says she doesn't. She calls wrestling fans entitled. So that's why
right.
She's not going to come back full time, and they're just like they're literally going to use her as Brock Lesnar. And they're going to point out like, no, she doesn't. I refuse to work full time. I'm not going to be here for every Raw. I'm only going to be here to defend my championship and to beat, you know, whoever. And it's a rehash. It's boring. I don't care.
My advice to Lana, though, right now would be if you do pick up your phone to tweet or text, don't answer it for the next week, because Rusev's gone. If Rusev's gone, they could fire Lana. I would say maybe not, because she is the hot blonde that Vince likes. But I mean, they also have Liv Morgan. They have Mandy Rose. They're not Alexa Bliss. They're not really in shortage of hot blondes right now. So it's the wild, wild west. Everyone needs to be careful about checking their phones.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, unless you are actively holding a championship, even then you better not
be a transitional champion. So
yeah, like those tag team titles are like, how heavy are those on Miz and Morrison? Like, huh, okay.
Well, God, they can't fire Morrison. They just brought him back. What a shit show that would be.
Well, we'll see. And like I said, it's mostly like, there's really no one who's been featured on the main roster other than like Sarah Logan was in the middle of doing I immediately take that back, because, you know, Sarah Logan has been doing stuff with the Riot Squad three-way feud that kind of potentially just ended with Elimination Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rowan was being pushed consistently for a very long time until Drew McIntyre killed a spider. And then like 2 weeks later, it was WrestleMania. He lost, and that was about it.
Rowan is the most surprising, kind of one of the most surprising ones to me, because, you know, this is just textbook WWE booking, where they have the monster. They portray him as the monster that can't be beat. He's obliterating everybody. And, you know, like Kozlov, like Great Khali. Well, actually, Khali, I think, had a much better run, obviously. But, and then all of a sudden, Rowan, for no reason at all that I could tell, I guess they just lost faith in him, just gets his ass handed to him by Drew McIntyre and gets a spider squished. And now he's gone.
There was a, what could have been like a pay-per-view marquee match of, it was Rowan versus Aleister Black on just a random Raw out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it was, they were good matches. They were competitive, but Black beat him, and it's like, okay, that's kind of weird. And then he pulls the spider out of his cage, and then McIntyre murders him, and that's it. And it's weird, because, and it's one of those things where it reeks of Vince just changing his mind on someone.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, oh, you know, I'm big on you. I'm high on this guy. And then his mood changes, or he looks at him funny, or he says something he doesn't like, or whatever one of the million of possibilities it would be. And then nope, not happening. Luke Harper on, I think it was the Talk is Jericho interview, was told outright, okay, we're, you know, you're getting paired with Rowan and we're doing that tag team again. And then it was just, nope, not happening. Cause do you remember that when Rowan came out, or not, when Harper came back?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, sweet. And then like 2 weeks later, they were drafted apart.
Yeah.
We've got Brody Lee as the Exalted One, which I like way more, but
yeah, I showed that video, his debut to, I think it was Zach Kyrgios, and he did not realize that Brody talked that way. He didn't know he could talk so eloquently. I'm like, like, dude's smart as hell.
They just had him be like a mute for whatever reason. Just that weird. Yeah.
Dropping so the much. Ball.
It sucks. I know we're beating the dead horse and we're just rehashing the same point, but just, man, this is awful. And, you know, it sucks.
And will it continue tomorrow? We don't know. We'll keep an eye on it and we'll report back to you next week, obviously. I think that's probably going to do it. I know we're cutting it early, but who cares anymore?
Yeah, there's other stuff we could, there might be other stuff that we could really talk about, but I've been, work's got me kind of flustered, so I haven't been able to stay on top of everything as much as I would like.
Yeah, and as you know, I'm doing great, so don't worry about me. I could have done this on my own, but I rely on you for a lot of things, but I'm fine with cutting it early tonight. I think we talked about the things we wanted to talk about, and, you know, it's a new era. Maybe in this era, we don't have to stick to 1 hour and just ramble for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not always, it's nice to have that, you know, round number, but
it is, it's what we shoot for, but we'll call it there. So I want to thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We love you so much, and we appreciate your constant support. We're going to try to get back to a regular schedule, I think, at this point, where I don't know what regular schedule means. I do want to do another I Want to Believe at some point. That one's going to be difficult because you know, I figured we'd remote in like we're doing now, but, you know, Lindsay's obviously on that show. Calvin is on that show. I don't know. And Tanner's on that show. I don't know if they can remote in or what, but we'll figure something out. I'm sure we will. I want to get back to normal as best we can. I'm tired of sitting in my house wondering when things are going to get better. So with that said, we will be back tomorrow, I believe, with Podzilla After Dark with myself, Lindsay, and Jesse. And we'll talk about, probably COVID-19. And we'll be back next week with something, probably. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Asa. Asa, take us out.
Plug your DeviantArt.
Oh, shit. I didn't think about that. So as some of you may or may not know... I'm a writer at heart. That's what I did before I did the podcast. I was a journalist. I was a writer. I've been trying to get back into writing lately. I've had a lot of downtime, you know, with everything that's going on in my life. So I've been writing short stories again, and I'd like to keep that going. If you want to check out my short stories, of course, you can find me on Facebook at look up Shannon Young on Facebook, S-H-A-N-N-O-N. Space Y-O-U-N-G. If you see a really buff guy with great hair and glasses, that's not me. But if you see a guy that looks okay with long hair and glasses, that's me. Or you can go to my DeviantArt page, which, you know, it sounds like I'm in freaking high school or something talking about my DeviantArt, but it's Last Chance Limited. All one word. Last Chance Limited on DeviantArt. You can check out my stories on there. So thank you, Asa. And hey, plug your Twitch stream.
Oh, don't you worry. I was gonna. Is that Last Chance Limited? Was that the name you had before?
Yes. Okay. No. I've had that name forever. And like just now it seems very ironic. But yeah, I guess you could say I've always been a little dramatic. But anyway.
You know.
No.
Twitch.tv/the5starman with the number 5. I'm working on getting an actual schedule set, and there's a couple other things that I'm working on, because right now it looks like I'll probably be doing Monday night, Friday night, and potentially Tuesday night, depending on what our schedule kind of shakes out being. Mm-hmm. So I'm not entirely sure, because I want to do at least 3 nights a week. But like Saturdays and Sundays are hard, because sometimes, you know, we get together for the pay-per-views, which, you know, I don't, or and Saturdays we have CCW once a month.
Yeah, and I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Yeah, no, and I know I have, you know, several weeks to not worry about that, but I don't want to like set a schedule and then upend it, or, you know, miss days, you know, even if it's just once a month. So I don't know. I'll get it figured out, but I have an idea that I'll tell you about after the show. For the project that I've been wanting to do for a while now. I'm hoping I might just be a couple weeks out from actually launching that.
Cool. Yeah, I look forward to it.
So, but yeah, twitch.tv/the5starman, and that's with the number 5.
Sounds good.
And then
I look at it. I watch it, obviously, when I can. Lindsay's a big fan of it.
And then, of course, the Facebook and Twitter are all at Podzilla1985, Facebook.com/Podzilla1985, and then Patreon.com/Podzilla1985 as well. And that's the links. Do you have is it DeviantArt.com/Last Chance Limited? Or do you have to just go to DeviantArt and search it? Do you have like a dedicated URL?
I think I do. Let me look. I'm at my computer, obviously, since, you know, we can't be at the store right now. Let me see. Yeah, just go to deviantart.com/Last Chance Limited, and you can find me on there. If you see the Giant House 100 cover photo, that's us, because I don't have a cover photo. I didn't plan on using DeviantArt much. I don't really like DeviantArt. It never rubbed me the right way. Lindsay is incredibly popular on here. She does a great job. I've never been super fond of it, but it is a good place to post like stories. I've also submitted some of these stories to actual publications, like I won't say what in case I don't get in, but I'm trying to branch out into actual publishing. And I don't know, I was toying with the idea of trying to write like a short story every day, and whenever the quarantine's over, however long it is, of releasing like a little book of like, you know, quarantine short stories or something like that. I don't know. I'm fiddling with ideas. I don't think I'm good enough that anybody would pay for it, but people have paid for worse, so. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Did you do the links already?
Yeah.
Oh, well, screw it then. We're out of here. I want to thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We'll be back tomorrow with After Dark, and then next week we're doing something. Thank you guys for tuning in. We love you so much. Later.